If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Happy Friday out there. May 16, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger Gabe Kuhn on XEdge underscore Kuhn 71. Alongside, as always, executive producer of the show. That'd be Connor Dunning on XEdge, Dunning 929. Connor, happy Friday. How are you?
Happy Friday. How are you?
I'm doing well. You never told me how you're doing, though. You're doing okay?
I'm doing well.
Okay.
I'm doing well.
Good to hear. Glad to hear. Any weekend plans? Because I have to tell you about mine.
Barbecue Fest tonight.
Okay.
I'm going to check out Barbecue Fest. I'm going to try to go to the summer drive-in on Sunday. If it doesn't rain.
When's the last day?
Sunday. Sunday will be the last day, so summer drive-in. So I'm having, and tomorrow I'm going to go to the Midtown Farmers Market. I got a nice little Memphis weekend planned.
Know what I have to do tonight? A long-time friend's birthday, 30th. They're trying to celebrate.
Oh, I remember.
I have to drive to Pickwick 3 hours tonight. They say it's a beer Olympics. I'm not participating in that. My body can't hold up. It can't do that.
So listen, back in my day.
I've done a couple of beer Olympics in my day.
I could hold my own during a beer Olympics. I was a high draft pick for teams. Now?
God, don't ask me to do it.
Don't ask me. I'm down for the count. I'll be hungover for 2 or 3 days if I try to participate in the beer Olympics now.
Yeah, hangovers. After about 27, it's like a 3-day thing.
Once you start paying insurance, your body just knows.
At this point,
you have to start paying insurance, your body's like, guess what? Hangovers are a thing now.
I've gotten to the point, like, this is really me. I've gotten to the point where if I know I'm going to have a couple of drinks, I have to drink water in between each drink.
100%.
Like a glass 100%. Of ice water and then start the next one. There's just no way. But I hope the whole beer Olympics thing that they're trying to say we're going
to
do.
If they need a referee, volunteer to be the referee. That's your way out.
I'll be watching sports on the couch in the house. That's what I'll be doing.
Is baby going with you?
No.
Baby's staying.
This is a weekend away. Weekend away. We have the mother-in-law taking care. It's nice to have a mother-in-law right around the corner. Lives right around the corner from us. It's beautiful. It's phenomenal. But we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We will pass you off to Knicks and Celtics game number 6 after the show. We won't have pregame, so it'll start right at 7 o'clock when we get off of air. That's going to be a fun one to watch. We also have a game 7 that was forced by the Denver Nuggets. They just won't go away. We have just now, Adam Schefter reporting that we have a deal done in San Francisco for Brock Purdy. Going to have to talk about that at the bottom of the hour. 5 years, $265 million. What does that do for the 49ers window? And also, around 5:30, we're going to hop into some over-under win totals and sort of talk through the win totals in college football. All of the Power Four has been released. So ACC, Big 12, Big 10, and SEC. We'll pick out a couple and talk through them. But as far as guests are concerned, 5 o'clock, David Cobb will join. And then 6 o'clock, per normal, on a Friday, Parker Fleming. WNBA starts up tonight. Okay. All right, 3 games. Looks like we're going to have Dream Mystics, Lynx Wings, Sparks, and Valkyries, all on Ion. All on Ion. I have two requests before we get into the WNBA season. Two real requests. One, as opposed to last year in Caitlin Clark's rookie year, I want to see a lot less of pitting Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark against each other.
Correct.
I want to see a lot less of the Caitlin Clark natural hating from former players and current players. That's first and foremost. What she's done to lift up the league, I know that people laid the groundwork for her and the WNBA in general. But what she's done to lift up the league needs to be celebrated, not hated. And here's my other request for people that have covered the WNBA for a long time, Connor. Because more people are getting involved because of Caitlin Clark. It's more exciting. You get to watch her. It has really lifted up the casual fan to go watch a normal WNBA game on Ion or whatever it is, ESPN. I want to see less gatekeeping.
Yes, stop being like, I've been here forever.
By the older WNBA writers and reporters. Because what they will inevitably say is, you only came when it was fashionable. You only decided to watch when it was fashionable, when it got more exciting. Well, yeah, that's how these things work. When there is a superstar that is worth the price of admission, that is worth flipping the TV over to Ion for, you should celebrate that. Stop with the old, well, I've been following this for years. You guys just joined in. Yeah, that's how a league grows, is by bringing in new fans, new faces, new superstars. So I want to see less gatekeeping. I think that's the biggest thing. Even more than what I talked about with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark and the back and forth and the hating on Caitlin Clark, I really want to see the longtime WNBA reporters and followers stop gatekeeping as much. It's been very frustrating.
Very much agree with that. Have you seen the odds for the WNBA Finals? Those have been released.
Let me know. Do you have them in front of you?
I do have them in front of me. The New York Liberty are +230. Minnesota Lynx are +325.
Where are the Fever?
Las Vegas Aces are +375. The Indiana Fever are +400. They have the fourth best odds.
Okay. They made some moves.
They did.
Sophie Cunningham came in.
Yeah. The Liberty should be the favorites, but the Fever, not bad money. And then you have Phoenix at +1,200.
Do you also see the WNBA?
There's a huge gap.
There was a WNBA GM survey, and this should not be a surprise, but people are talking about it today, where there was a question about who is the player in the league that you would want to start your team around. Caitlin Clark won running away.
Easy.
Yeah. There's just no doubt about it, right? And it goes beyond just what she does on the floor. It's about how much she does in merch sales, getting people into the stadium, ticket sales, all that. So, we'll start the WNBA tonight. Those are my two requests. Now let's get into the NBA. Last night we have a Game 7 forced, and the Denver Nuggets just keep on plugging away, man. 13 games they have played in these NBA playoffs. That's the most by any team. They've played 13 games since April 19th. That's when they started their playoff run. They haven't had a whole bunch of time off. You feel like you've had some injuries with Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon's been banged up here and there, but they just keep on making things happen. Nikola Jokic, of course, is the center of the universe. He had 29, 14, and 8 last night. He was sensational. Jamal Murray, especially in the first quarter, he scored 14 of the first 18 points. He was great. He has more 25-point games in the playoffs than Jalen Brunson and Chauncey Billups and all these different players. He is one of the best playoff risers. Christian Brown was phenomenal last night.
We had
a great performance from Julian Strother. But the thing about this Nuggets team is every time I feel like they are down and out, they've run out of steam, the injuries are going to be too much to overcome, they're hobbled, somebody steps up where you don't expect them to step up. It's been Aaron Gordon throughout these NBA playoffs, but last night, Christian Brown, Julian Strother, just unbelievable what this team keeps doing. Time and time again. I mean, after halftime, they were down by 3. I figured you're going to have to throw a haymaker immediately to try to knock out the Thunder, to try to build this lead coming out of half. They just paced that game as well as possible, end up winning it by 12. This team just does not go away, and I think that's where the experience championship pedigree comes in.
Absolutely. All of these guys having championship experience has mattered in this series in a big way, and it was one of the question marks, two of the question marks we had about the Oklahoma City Thunder heading into the playoffs was, do they have enough experience to get it done, and are they going to get pushed around a little bit by some of these teams? I think in this series, you have seen the Denver Nuggets, their experience has come to play, and they've been able to push them around a little bit, most notably Nikola Jokic. They just don't have anybody that can stop him or necessarily deal with him. They've tried to keep him at bay a few games, and that's why they've gotten some of these wins. But to your point, the rest of the Nuggets in this series, it's kind of like they're playing hot potato of whose night it is to pop off.
Right.
Like, it's mostly been Aaron Gordon. It's mostly been Christian Brown or Jamal Murray. But last night, Jamal Murray and Christian Brown were phenomenal. Julian Strother, he decided to show up to the series. You've had Russell Westbrook have a couple games during the playoffs.
He leads the NBA playoffs in bench points, by the way.
Yeah, he was last night. He was rough, though.
Like, yeah, he was rough.
He came in at one point and completely gave up the lead that they had with the bench unit.
It's amazing to me. Like, he is just one of those players that, yeah, he affects winning, but he also affects losing in a big way. It's like he just gives and he takes away. Like what he said earlier in the playoffs about him being a force of nature, I still stand by.
I will say, like, I've said he's a dumb player because I do think he's a dumb player, but Michael Porter Jr. last night gave them just enough.
Yeah.
If he can just hit one or two threes, he has to keep the defense honest. If he can keep the defense honest, it's going to open up things for the rest of the team. And I will say, he played pretty good defense last night. That is usually something that he is a bit spotty with, but the reason he got 29 minutes was he was effective on the defensive end. And that's one thing. The Nuggets have been able to give just enough offensively, but they are truly showing up defensively and throwing things at the Oklahoma City Thunder. And unfortunately for the Thunder, I mean, their second guy, he's just been terrible.
Yeah, Jalen Williams has been
terrible.
Been absolutely
he was bad
awful.
In the Grizzlies series, too. He was bad in that series, too. We pointed out the stats that he had. It is becoming now a trend with him that he is not showing up when they need him to the most.
Yeah. In this series, he has performances of 2 for 13 from the field, 3 for 16 from the field.
Yikes.
5 for 14 from the field, and 5 for 20 from the field.
Not going to get it done.
He is shooting 24% from 3 in the playoffs this year. And you know what? That's what I was going to get to. You could be surprised because this was a 68-win regular season team and they had one of the best net ratings in NBA history, and they're really one of the best regular season teams in NBA history, this Oklahoma City Thunder team. But what we're seeing, their lack of ability to close out the Nuggets and leave no doubt, it shouldn't be surprising to us. It's a lot of young players who have yet to play road basketball in those pressure environments. You're seeing it with Jalen Williams time and time again. Yeah, some of those players off the bench that we expect to pop, that pop during the regular season, whether home or away, Aaron Wiggins and Isaiah Joe, Cason Wallace, they're very up and down. I know they're deep. I know they have a good top line. But at the end of the day, the thought that this team doesn't know what they don't know, that they're too young, I think that is something that is showing up in this series in a big way. They're just not used to the level of play, the intensity, the environment that you see on the road, second round of the NBA playoffs.
When you watch the Nuggets, every possession they have, you feel this sense of urgency. I haven't necessarily felt that with the Thunder. They're taking some plays off. They are. They are telling themselves, we are so good that we will be able to come back if we miss a couple shots in a row. Every single Nuggets possession, you feel like they understand we have to try to score a bucket here. They have gone long stretches without scoring, but it's not from lack of effort. The Thunder thing is odd because you see a bit of a lack of effort there. Now, all of this being said, I do think that, you and I say all the time, basketball is kind of a simple sport. This series is pretty simple. If Jalen Williams wasn't terrible, the series would be over.
Yeah, for sure.
It'd be a wrap.
No doubt.
We wouldn't even be having a conversation about it.
He's the number two option on that team.
During the regular season, this guy averaged almost 22 points a game, and he shot nearly 40% from three. He's shooting in the 20s from three, and he's barely. And what did you say he's averaging this series?
This series, I don't have an average. He's averaging 18 points, so he's had a step down in the playoffs this year.
If he was playing like his normal level, this series would be over. And that's why, you know, I've seen Thunder fans all pissed off and talking about, you know, well, da-da-da-da. It's simple. If Jalen Williams was playing like Jalen Williams, this series would be over. But now you have to question, can he be the number two guy throughout the playoffs. Because SGA, he hasn't been like MVP levels every single game, but he's been pretty damn good.
Yeah,
I'm not going to put this on SGA whatsoever. It's Jalen Williams.
Yeah,
he has been bad.
You want to hear some nasty stats about this series from his, you know, his shooting percentages? 7 for 32 from three. That's 21.9%. In the mid-range, he's 3 for 11, 27%. And this is probably the worst stat of all for Jalen Williams, because he is a sizable guy, can slash, get to the rim, and he does that at a high level, did it at a high level during the regular season. In the restricted area, right there around the rim, 9 for 22, 40% when he gets into the restricted area. He just has not been good enough, and that's why the Thunder that's why the series is at seven games. Now, when they get back home, I expect some of those role players to step up. We know role players step up, play better at home. Jalen Williams will be in a more comfortable environment. Maybe he'll play a whole lot better. He does have a 32-point performance in this series at home. So
oddly enough, they lost that game.
We'll see. I think that I still would take the Thunder to win Game 7, but again, it's a lot of pressure. It's another playoff scar they could take. It's going to be fun to watch Game 7. But this series has been phenomenal.
What have
it's
you made phenomenal. Of the MVP matchup that we've been seeing?
That's why this series is so phenomenal. So far in this series, Jokic 29-14-7. Shea 28-7-7. And they're both right around 50% from the field. So they have really showed up and made this series exactly what we expected, sort of that MVP back-and-forth matchup. I see people joking about it, but I guess I'm being tongue-in-cheek, but I'm kind of serious. It's almost like whoever wins Game 7, and I know MVP is a regular season award, I understand that. It almost feels like whoever wins this Game 7 should ultimately be the MVP between SGA and Jokic.
Listen, this week with the lottery already feels like the WWE anyway, with the Mavericks winning the lottery. Hang the MVP trophy over center court. Whoever wins the game gets it. But I think some people are expecting they're going to announce SGA and give him the trophy before Game 7.
Really?
Because that would piss off Jokic enough to where he would just be fully unleashed. And if you're the NBA and SGA is winning, that's kind of the best case scenario to give it to him. If they give it to him before Game 7 and announce it before Game 7 and you get peak Jokic,
forgive
peak
me
Jokic
for
performance,
asking. Forgive
that would
me
be
for,
awesome.
Forgive me for asking this. Do you think we're Jokic deep down?
Yes, I think he cares.
Okay.
I think Jokic cares.
He acts like he does not care.
I think Jokic cares way more about basketball than we give him credit for.
Than he
I think
leads us to believe.
I think that he enjoys his horses and he enjoys
sure.
going home. But you've seen throughout these playoffs specifically him screaming at people in the huddle. I think he truly cares. I think he's a competitor. And I think watching someone get MVP over him when he is clearly the number two would motivate him.
Okay.
So if you're the NBA, I would absolutely do that. If SGA is going to win this, I would be giving it to SGA before Game 7.
Not
going
to happen. Or maybe you think that's going to happen?
I think it might.
Okay, we'll see.
Usually by now they've already announced it.
Right.
It's late for some reason.
Close vote?
I don't know.
Tiebreakers? What are they doing?
Now, it would also be very funny if they gave it to Jokic before Game 7. Either one's great.
Yes, 100%. All right, now tonight we do have, and it'll be right here on 92.9 FM ESPN, we do have Game 6, Celtics versus the Knicks. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but in the absence of Jason Tatum, the Celtics team has been very, very good. Without him, the last two seasons, including playoffs, 17-3 without Jason Tatum, 119 points per game, 105.9 points per game. Those would be ranked first in the NBA if that were the case. Point differential plus 13.8. Field goal percentage would be fourth in the NBA, 48. Three-point percentage, 39%. That would be first in the NBA. That's all without Jason Tatum on the floor and just Jaylen Brown on the floor. When we look at tonight's game, I'm going to ask the question I asked yesterday. How open is this door for the Celtics to ultimately win this series? How open is this door? Based on what we saw in Game 5 and the fact that you have Kristaps Porzingis with his issues and Jason Tatum out, how really open is this door for the Boston Celtics?
30% open.
Okay.
35% open, I would say. If they win tonight, it's a coin flip.
Sure, but sure.
With it being still in New York for this big game, it feels like right now it's about 30% open. They had a phenomenal game last time.
Yeah.
They won one for Tatum. The entire team was excellent. Derek White was on fire. You're going to have to kind of replicate that exact and still rely on players like OG and Mikal Bridges to just have bad games. You need all of that to happen again.
Sure.
It was a perfect recipe of how the Celtics could win that game came to fruition. So if they stick with the adjustments that they made, and then you get a bad shooting performance from either Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, Karl-Anthony Towns, OG, or Mikal, you'll have a shot. But you need one or two of them to have bad nights. And it's just we haven't really seen the Knicks have bad nights over and over again throughout the playoffs so far.
Sure. What I will say, in going into Game 6, you can't necessarily rely on a 34-point performance from Derek White, 7 for 13 from 3, although, who knows, Derek White is an absolute stud.
Right.
Especially when he gets those opportunities. You can't rely on Luke Kornet on the road
to build,
having
Bill
seven
Russell.
Blocks and being perfect from the field. You can't rely on those things. But watching Game 5 was so much different on the offensive end for the Celtics. Yeah, they put up 49 threes. They did make 22 of them, so they shot better percentages.
Right.
But they were better looks, and I think this too. I thought they were more intentional about when they were taking their looks, and they weren't just chucking and ducking like they 100%. Were with Jason Tatum the rest of the
100%.
Series. There was pump fakes, attacking closeouts from Jaylen Brown. That's why he got his teammates open on some driving kicks. It felt more intentional. If they can carry that over to Game 6, even on the road, I do still kind of like their chances. Now, for the New York Knicks and Knicks fans, I know this is absolute, I mean, it is, it's painful. It's painful because tonight is a must-win. All the pressure is directly on your shoulders. It feels like the Celtics, since Jason Tatum got hurt, pressure's sort of off, playing with house money to a certain extent. I mean, this. If tonight goes to the Celtics, you force a Game 7 in TD Garden, that is cruel and unusual for the New York Knicks and Knicks fans. Because when you go up 3-1 in a series, you win 94% of the time. And if the Knicks don't win tonight, I think I'm picking the Celtics to win the series outright.
It does feel like they have to win tonight. Because if you're going back to Boston with that crowd, and if the Celtics win again tonight, then you have to have a conversation about, did they figure something out?
Right.
And is figuring it out just putting Drew Holiday and Jaylen Brown on Jaylen Brunson and attacking the rim and not taking 60 threes? Those feel like pretty simple adjustments. Making sure Peyton Pritchard's getting more minutes than the zombie of whatever is happening to Kristaps Porzingis right now. Porzingis just doesn't need to play. He's been a liability out there. The two big lineups that they're trying to run with Al Horford and Kristaps Porzingis are just getting absolutely cooked by the Knicks. They're having the most success when they have had a guy like Luke Kornet out there or Peyton Pritchard. So if they stick with the adjustments that they made in Game 5, I wouldn't be shocked if the Celtics win. I just think that it's an uphill battle for them. And again, they're going to have Mikal, OG, Josh Hart, two of those three guys have to have really bad games. Now, Josh Hart had overperformed last game. So maybe you just get a normal performance for him, maybe 6 or 7 points with a ton of rebounds. It's going to come down to probably, will Mikal Bridges and OG show up? And Karl-Anthony Towns, get your big ass in the paint. Stop fouling people, idiot. Like, 4 of his fouls were just not around the rim. I think 5 of them weren't even around the rim.
Right.
That's what's frustrating about when you're watching Karl-Anthony Towns. You'll look at it and you'll say, he has 6 fouls, and then I'm like, but he has 0 blocks. How's that possible?
Yeah.
Or 1 block.
Mm-hmm.
How's that possible? Mm-hmm. How's he have all these fouls, but he's not doing it at the rim? He's not doing it on defense. He's doing it because he doesn't know how to set a pick, and he's flailing his body around. He gets the ball stolen from him, and he gets pissed off, and he grabs somebody. God, just get your big ass in the paint and stop fouling people.
Know what I sort of noticed about this series, and I know that he's, 38 years old at this point? We haven't had an Al Horford game. You usually get an Al Horford game where they just leave him open from three and he knocks down like 3 or 4.
He was good last game. He was good last game, but they haven't had the big Al Horford game. Like, I think in game 4 he had like 15 points too.
Right.
But they're looking for that huge Al Horford game.
That
like
corner sitting where he's just locked in.
Right. No, or game 3. I think it was game 3 where he had 15.
Yeah, but we haven't had that Al Horford game. And you know how high regard I hold Al Horford in. Future Hall of Famer. I think
easy.
Is it no doubt?
Yes, because again, it's not just it's about the NBA. Yeah, it's about his college career and he international.
He was SEC MOP.
Yeah,
3-time All SEC, all that.
He's 100% a Hall of Famer without a doubt. He's an NBA champion. He won in college. He's an international player. 100%
been an All Star. Been an All NBA guy. I mean, so I think it's pretty much written. But that will be on after we get off at 7 o'clock right here on 92.9 FM ESPN Celtics versus Knicks. Game 6. All right, we have some NFL news just dropping from Adam Schefter. Brock Purdy has been paid by the 49ers. 5 years, $265 million. Is it a good deal or is it a bad deal? I'll tell you on the other side. So the next quarterback in line has officially been paid. We've been talking about it for some time now, but Brock Purdy was due for a contract extension, and he has officially gotten it from the 49ers. 5 years, $265 million with $181 million guaranteed. Now, if you're asking, is this the top of the market? No, it is not the top of the market. He is number 7 when it comes to AAV. Average valuation per year at $53 million per year. He is tied with Jared Goff, right behind Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence, and Jordan Love. Now, when it comes to what this means for the 49ers, I think it means one simple thing. I think they have shrunk their window. Their window might be officially passed. They've already had to let some guys go. They've already had to let some guys walk. Look at Dre Greenlaw, one of their great linebackers. He's not there anymore. You just look around that roster, and it's not the same as it once. Look, Deebo Samuel, now with the Commanders. He is no longer part of the repertoire that Brock Purdy can throw to. So I think their window is closing, if not closed, already. Brock Purdy is a good quarterback. I don't want to misconstrue the situation. I don't want you to misconstrue my words either. He is a good quarterback. He can be great at times. But contrary to the best quarterbacks in the league, top four, we look at Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow. He doesn't lift up the pieces around him like those guys do. He has to be lifted up by the pieces around him. When you look at his career, he was good in his rookie year. 13 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, really good job, making something happen when Jimmy Garoppolo was hurt and you didn't have an option at quarterback. So that was nice for him. Year 2, he was in the MVP race. That was just dandy. 31 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, threw for nearly 4,000 yards. He was very good in year 2. Now, in year 2, what did he have? Health around him. Brandon Ayuk was on the field the entire season. Deebo Samuel was on the field the entire season. George Kittle was on the field the entire season. Christian McCaffrey was on the field for the entire season. Now, fast forward to the year after that, year 3, he didn't have that. Brandon Ayuk goes down with an ACL injury. Christian McCaffrey doesn't play just about the entire year. Deebo Samuel's in and out of the lineup. George Kittle's in and out of the lineup. And what happens? A serious step back in production. Under 4,000 yards passing, 20 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions. Brock Purdy, to me, if I'm making an NBA comparison, he's the assist-to-turnover point guard. He's the Tyus Jones of the National Football League. When you look at wins and losses for Brock Purdy and for Tyus Jones in his NBA career, you have to look at the people around him. You have to look at the other pieces. When Kevin Durant and Devin Booker with Tyus Jones, it goes better for him. When Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Desmond Bane are around Tyus Jones, it goes better for him. But when that talent is not there, very regular guy, still solid player, still worth money, still somebody you want on your roster. But in the end of the day, their success is dependent on the pieces around them. So for the 49ers to pay him $53 million over the next 5 years, I think this is a risk that will prove to end their window for a championship, for playoff contention, effectively. I like Brock Purdy. Don't love Brock Purdy. Don't think he's a top 10 quarterback in the National Football League. I understand he was next in line to get a contract, and that's why he got it. But when we look at him as a player, he is very reliant on having talent through the roof around him, and that's why he succeeds.
Where do you think the 49ers should go from here? What's the next position they have to try to make improvements with? Or is there anywhere they can go? Is this just the team that they're going to have to roll with?
I think this is the team they're going to have to roll with. Their cap's going to get crunched now with Brock Purdy making $53 million per year. And, you know, Brandon Ayuk's coming off an ACL injury. You just paid him. You know, he has the contract extension. George Kittle got a massive contract extension. I don't know if you saw that. Highest paid tight end in the National Football League. Like, their hands are tied. You have your franchise cornerstones that you've had for a while, and you're just going to have to roll with them now. And Brock Purdy has now joined that as the face of the franchise. That's what we're looking at. Now, as for the 49ers this year, in year one of the extension, I think they'll be fine. We had the NFL schedule release on Wednesday, and the 49ers actually have one of the easiest schedules in the National Football League. Of course, the NFC West can be tough. I think the Cardinals will be plucky.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Rams won that division last year. Understand all of that. But when you look at their crossover opponents that are not divisional matchups, the 49ers ended up getting the New Orleans Saints. That should be a dub. Jacksonville Jaguars, who were terrible. Now, they could improve, but seemingly that should be a win. They ended up getting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, I think that's a toss-up. They got the Atlanta Falcons. That should be a win. You have the Carolina Panthers. That should be a win. You have the Cleveland Browns. You have the Tennessee Titans. All of their non-divisional games are easy. So I don't think even with this extension and guys walking and this sort of new retooled roster, I think that 10 wins should be the bar for them this year. They should be a playoff team. But going into the future, it's just going to be way harder for them to afford what they need to afford to be successful.
Do you think that they're going to win the NFC West?
I think I still put the Rams at the top of that.
The Rams?
I still have to throw the Rams their love. You still have Matt Stafford in place. I know you moved off of Cooper Kupp, but I think you improved in getting Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua. I mean, I think that's a. I think their wide receiver room's better than it was a year ago. You still have all those young guys that have showed up. They even showed up in the playoffs on the defensive side of the ball. Jared Verse, defensive rookie of the year. I still have to lean the Rams. I think they're a more talented team.
Okay. Do you think they'll be a playoff team?
If the 49ers aren't a playoff team, they're going to have some serious discussions about what they do going forward. Because that would be very clear to me, considering the schedule they have and how easy it is. They're not a playoff team. You have to rethink your entire roster and how you've put it together.
So that's a – they should be.
They should be.
They should be.
And to be honest, they better be. You have the Browns, the Titans, the Colts, the Saints, the Jags. Teams are all picking at the top of the draft. You have to win those games. Those are easy wins. You should be able to stack at least 10, maybe 11, if you're the 49ers with the schedule that they have in front of them. But if they can't get to the playoffs with this particular schedule and this roster, it's only going to get harder from here. You're not going to get this easy of a draw schedule-wise every single season. Also, we didn't really talk NFL schedule release and some of the toughest schedules in the NFL. The NFC East, there's a couple of teams that just it blows my mind. What they did to the Philadelphia Eagles is criminal. They win a Super Bowl, get over top, make it happen, and this is what they get to start the year. Cowboys at Chiefs versus Rams on the road against Tampa Bay and then Denver at home.
That's brutal.
That's what they start the season with.
I mean, their whole schedule's tough.
It's horrid.
Their entire schedule is difficult.
They play 10 playoff teams, I believe. 10 playoff teams. First time in NFL history that's happened.
I mean, they got two Giants games.
10 games against playoff teams.
You have two.
10 games against
playoff teams. Two Giants games. And then that's like the two Giants games are the only actual bad teams they're playing. Like, depending on what you think of the Bears. But outside, and then the Raiders. So, like, they have two against the Giants, one against the Bears, one against the Raiders. The rest of their games are going to be difficult.
I mean, their crossover games are just ridiculous. Chiefs, Bucks, Rams, Broncos, Minnesota, the Vikings, who won 14 games last year, the Chargers, who were a playoff team, the Lions, obviously the Commanders are in their division, but the Bills at the end of the year on the road in Week 17, their crossover games are all, you know, toss-ups, considering their roster versus the other roster. That's not fun. That's not fun. That's the toughest schedule in the National Football League. But I do want to also highlight, because we do carry the Cowboys right here at 92.9 ESPN. Cowboys have a historic stretch of schedule to end the year. I don't know if you've gotten to see this, Connor. They have, from Week 12 to Week 17, Eagles, Chiefs, Lions, Vikings, Chargers, Commanders, all playoff teams. That's four straight to start. Eagles, Chiefs, Lions, Vikings against 14-plus game winners from a year ago. All six of those games are against 11-plus game winners. And, of course, all six of those games against playoff teams. I went through and tried to realistically pick out W's and L's for the Cowboys. And what I found to be kind of tricky is obviously there's going to be swing games. Obviously there's going to be games that can lean either way. I get that. But it's very realistic, just looking at it face value, to say that this Cowboys team could lose 11 games next year. Even with the improvement they made getting George Pickens, even with what they've done with the offensive line, defense is still solid, held up, you have the coaching switch. You look at that schedule top to bottom, and there's just no easy weeks, especially once you get to Week 12.
When I went through it just now, I counted 7 wins, but the Bears one I counted as win. I counted the Bears as a win.
That's what I'm saying, and that to me is a little bit of a swing game.
Because then you're going to have, can they beat the Chargers? Can they beat the Commanders?
I think the wild card here would be the Vikings. What are the Vikings going to look like year one with J.J. McCarthy? Do they sort of pick up where they left off with Sam Darnold, or are they going to take a step back, J.J. McCarthy learning experience, all that, after a year off of football? That's going to be a swing game in that, you know, Week 12 to Week 17 stretch. But looking at the rest of it, it's just no weeks off. No weeks off. So, and thinking about that stretch from week 12 to week 17, week 12 and week 13, you have the Super Bowl matchup from last year, Eagles-Chiefs. Just absolutely insane, man. Absolutely insane. All right, now let's go ahead and grab a break. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. I know we don't talk a lot of hockey on the show, Connor, but tonight we have Game 6, Maple Leafs on the road against the Florida Panthers. Maple Leafs were up 2-0 and have lost three straight games after being the first-place team in the Eastern Conference. I know we have a lot of put-upon fan bases in American sports, North American sports. Like the Cowboys are struggling. We know the Knicks have not won since 73, and they've been trying to get there. Like there's a lot of organizations, fan bases that have struggled for years and years and years to get to where they want to go. Is there any team or franchise that has gone through more heartache than the Toronto Maple Leafs? Have not won since 67, have constantly been in the playoffs, have a good roster, but they just seem to bow out in the first or second round of every single Stanley Cup playoffs. That's just how it goes.
Vikings?
Bills could be one.
Bills.
The Maple Leafs.
Right. It's been
home of hockey right there.
It's been horrific.
Toronto and Canada.
It's been brutal. It's been brutal. And losing to a team from Florida has to make it a little bit worse, too.
And losing three straight. They lost 6-1 in Game 5.
Brutal. Just got their asses kicked.
Tonight, Panthers minus 235 on home ice. And they had home ice, too. The Maple Leafs. Like, everything was leaning their direction after the first two games of the series. And then they just lose three straight. So everything blows up in their face.
Under Paul Maurice, the Panthers are 26-0 when holding a lead at the end of the first or second period in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's good.
AKA, you got to score early.
Now, NBA Combine's going on right now. And I've been seeing some interesting tidbits regarding P.J. Haggerty, Connor. So in game one at the NBA Draft Combine, in his scrimmage, his team won 18 points on 7 for 13 from the field, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals in 27 minutes. And then yesterday, how about this? Second scrimmage, 16 points, 7 rebounds, made a 3-pointer, 3 assists, 1 steal, plus 25, 1 again. And if you look at some of his testing, now he did not measure very well, 6'2 and a half, something like that. But if you look at some of his testing, one of the big questions is about his 3-point shooting. In the three-point star drill, he was number one among all NBA combine participants, 18 for 25 in the three-point star drill. I know that we think it's a foregone conclusion, monetarily and otherwise, that P.J. Haggerty is going to come back to college, likely NC State, somewhere else around the country. But I think what he set out to accomplish by going into the NBA draft and testing the waters, I think he's accomplished that. He's made what was an easy decision to go back to college an actual decision, it seems like. If you look at some of the mock drafts, some people, because of what he's done at the NBA draft combine, have moved him up to a late second round pick. So if he set out to accomplish making the decision between college an NBA, an actual decision, something you really have to think on, I think he's accomplished that goal.
Yeah, he's made it a discussion. He's made it to where you can actually have a discussion about it. I think the main thing with P.J. Haggerty is we've never really questioned his offensive ability, but the main thing that I question is, what position is he playing?
Right.
Can he be a true point guard? Because he's not big enough to be a shooting guard. And what's his defense going to look like in the NBA?
Right.
Would he be able to defend somebody like Jalen Brunson in a playoff series? Probably not.
Yeah, probably.
That's going to be the question. And unfortunately, you know, it's great that his actual games have been going well, but his measurements were not very good.
Sure.
Those aren't going to help him, but it does seem like he's a bit of a riser. So the conversation is more of a conversation now than it was 2 weeks ago.
The only question I have about P.J. Haggerty,
it kind of reminds me of David Jones.
in this decision. Well, he's PJ's a better he's player. Performing better than David Jones did at the NBA Draft Combine. He's performing more consistently, shooting the three ball better, all that. And I think measurements, PJ didn't have good measurements, but David Jones were terrible considering he was 6'4", and he's trying to play a three. You know, he's trying to be a small forward. I think at this point for PJ Haggerty, the one thing that could drag him into the NBA is looking at his situation in a pretty pragmatic way and asking yourself, are my NBA draft stocks, all the things I'm doing, are they going to get higher if I come back to college? Can I actually improve my stock getting a year older, coming back, trying to prove that I can shoot a three-point ball well, and trying to be consistent like that? Because last year he shot relatively well. His efficiency went up. I just have the question for him, if you come back for a year or two more, will you ever be as highly thought of as you are right this second? If the end goal is to be in the NBA and to give yourself the best opportunity, get a contract, right?
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Now may be the best time for PJ Haggerty. You get more leeway with his age, coming off a really good year, really good performance in the NBA draft combine. So that's the question I have for him right now. Are your prospects of being an NBA player and getting to the contract, are they going to be better than they are today?
Right. I think the contract's a big conversation, because we know that second round picks don't make a ton of money, but they can still be in the millions.
Right.
And you could get 4 years. So maybe make like a $7 million contract. Is that worth going
based
now?
Based on his draft position, it's two-way, and he'd have to play himself into a full-time contract.
Right. So that's why. Do you come back to a school for $2 to $3 million and try to improve your draft stock?
But here's my question. Based on what he did last year, like, that was such a good year. Second-team All-American, unanimous, 21 points per game.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.